Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Sean Broderick. He is an analyst over at Weiss Ratings. And Sean, you and I talk about a wide range of topics, and we're going to first start with some of these short squeezes that have been in the news for about a week and a half now. And I'm really excited just to hear your general takeaway from just how crazy this market is, how much the retail traders in terms of these short squeezes have impacted the markets, and what's catching your eye for some of these moves. Please, Sean, share with us your takeaway from what's been in everyone's mind, all these short squeezes.
Well, it's really making it hard to trade the market. I mean, we have a bunch of silver positions, that is silver stocks, silver miners, silver explorers, and they went really way up Monday, and then they went really way down Tuesday. You know, I'm glad I didn't buy any more on Monday when, like, everyone was, like, dancing in the streets about handing it to the hedge funds, because, you know, I mean, it just makes it really tough to trade. We know what sent the market down Tuesday. It's a combination of things. When we had the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, or the CME, as it's much better known, raised the margins to hold a futures contract. That makes it harder for, like, traders to hold multiple contracts. They have to, you know, if they have the same finite amount of money, then they have to sell some. There's that. JP Morgan just downgraded a bunch of mining sectors worldwide. I guess that includes silver. Why anyone would listen to JP Morgan on that? Because they paid over a $900 million fine to avoid criminal charges for manipulating the silver market. Why would anyone believe them? I don't know. And then I was just reading this morning that up in Canada, hedge funds are actually going more short the big, the like well-known silver miners, like First Majestic. They raised their short positions on that. So we saw on the retail side a bunch of small investors get together, try and push that up, much as they did last week to GameStop and AMC and stuff like that. But now there seems to be a push coming back the other way. It's hard to trade. We're in it to win it longer term. The forces in the silver market seem quite obvious, a giant supply-demand squeeze. We've already hit peaks. We've already hit peak silver. You know, there's a lot going for silver. So these short intraday swings aren't that concerning to me. I loved it when the portfolio went up yesterday. I'm just taking it easy come, easy go as it goes down today. The big trend is up, and we'll just ride that.
So, Sean, as a long-term investor, then, understanding that these short squeezes, they seem to only last about 2-3 days, and then the market, the stock, comes right back to close to where it started, maybe sets up a slightly higher trading range. Do you think on a long-term basis that it's positive, negative, or really has no impact on sentiment and the number of traders actually trading some of these stocks or individual sectors?
Yeah. I would say no real impact. Then again, we don't know what will happen next. Will the people who are on Reddit, you know, in silver stocks, will they vow revenge and get more of their friends to come in and buy? I don't know at this point. Now, it did have an impact on the physical silver market, and that might have some longer-term effect, because over the weekend, so many people were buying silver that silver dealers, some of them actually ran out, or they raised their premium so high that it became prohibitive to actually buy silver coins. It might have some impact that way, in that it just shines attention on what is a small and crowded market. And so if it gets people thinking about silver again, maybe that'll have an impact. You know, I mean, it's really hard to game exactly what's going to happen with that. We'll see what they like next. I hope they like cannabis stocks next. That would be wonderful. Go ahead, squeeze my cannabis stocks higher. You know, they're already doing well. I wouldn't mind them doing better. But it's really hard to figure that into any long-term plans.
It is. And yeah, don't be depending on any of these short squeezes. Or, hey, if the short squeeze does come into your sector or any of your stocks, I think the lesson is take some profits because it most likely is going to come right back. In terms of cannabis stocks, then we have seen a broad melt up in cannabis stocks, both in the U.S. and in Canada. Are you finding yourself focused in one of these areas, one of these jurisdictions more than the other?
Well, we actually have stocks in both, but as you and I were discussing before we started recording, right now, today, my Canadian cannabis stocks are outperforming the U.S. cannabis stocks by a wide margin. I'm not really sure why. This is where the legalization is going to take place, right? In the U.S. This is it. And so, you know, I mean, they're all up today, or mostly up. There might be one or two that are down. But the Canadian cannabis stocks are just really leading the pack. Now, I'm not sure what. Maybe they're playing catch-up. Maybe people are realizing things aren't as negative in Canada as they thought, though. I just saw a story on MJ Biz Daily, I think it was yesterday, that they're looking at another huge surplus of cannabis in Canada over the course of the next year. You would think that would weigh on stocks. That isn't weighing on stocks now. So is this because the market knows something we don't? Or is it because there's too much easy money floating around and so it's now flowing into what people consider hot stocks? Maybe that's it. And we'll just see what happens there. I do think that we are looking at a great year for select cannabis stocks. I think right now going into the cannabis market is kind of like the Oklahoma land rush. I don't know if you know about that. That was in the late 1800s. When they opened up land that previously hadn't been claimed by white men anyway. And so everybody lined up early and they ran ahead. That's why Oklahoma is the Sooner state. And so people who get into cannabis stocks now are anticipating legalization this year, which is probably going to happen this year. The odds really favor that. And so plenty of these companies which are struggling along without able to use federal banks, you know, I can't imagine the size of the vaults that these companies have because they're in a cash business. There's so much good stuff that can happen in the cannabis market this year that you know many of these stocks are just going to ignite. So it's like the Oklahoma land rush, the like Sooner rush is happening in cannabis now. People taking positions ahead of that. I don't blame them. I think it's a smart move. That's what we're doing, and it's working out quite well for us.
Hey, we all saw the runs that those Canadian stocks, cannabis stocks, went through when Canada went through the legalization, and it was a complete blow-off top that we saw. Huge profits were made, but then pretty quickly, a lot of these stocks started to pull back. So if you are playing that broad melt-up that should or could happen in U.S. cannabis stocks, is there a certain sector or focus that you have on the stocks that you're playing that you think could even outperform on that melt-up?
Well, just so as you understand that many of the things happening right now don't make sense. What does make sense to me, though, is that U.S. multi-state operators, you know, they built these like great silos from seed to sale in multiple states. There's obviously going to be consolidation in there when things are legalized. So I think not all of the multi-state operators look very good here. And so, yeah, it seems that their prices are high compared to their actual sales, even though some are actually starting to turn profitable, which is great. But what people are looking at is the future, looking at the future of what these companies can do. And just like happened with like tech stocks and is happening with tech stocks now, you know, they anticipate the future and they bid these things up. They can go a lot higher. So I like the U.S. multi-state operators, though. That said, one of the best stocks we have, that's my Wealth Megatrends monthly newsletter, is IIPR, that owns greenhouses used to grow medical cannabis. So they like finance the greenhouses or else they purchase them from the companies that grow cannabis and then lease them back on long-term leases because basically the banks were not able to do it. Now, the question we should all be asking ourselves is if cannabis is legalized, does the business model for IIPR go away? I mean, maybe it will, or else maybe because they're the best known in the business at doing what they do, things adjust a little bit, but people continue to still use them. So there's a lot of questions there, but I think you can do really well. About the only thing I'm avoiding is like media companies or else companies that say they have the next platform that's going to be the Yahoo or the Google for cannabis. I don't think anyone cares about that. You know, I mean, they just don't care. So I avoid those. But the ones with a real business with like real money coming in and like stuff like that, I think they can make a lot more money.
Okay. Now there's another sector too that you brought up to me off mic that you said was starting to perk up again, and that is the uranium sector. Still no real movement in the uranium price, but you're noticing a couple uranium stocks that are starting to bounce again. A lot of these uranium stocks went through quite the run at the tail end of last year, but have faded recently. What are you seeing in terms of the stocks in the uranium sector that's giving you some confidence that another run might be coming?
First of all, it's maddening because we keep seeing a bull market starting this thing and then fizzle out and like, damn it. But I mean, sure. I mean, just look at them. Look at Plateau Uranium. Look at Fission Uranium. Look at, even Denison Mines, there's an old name. Look at Canalaska. They're all perking up, deep yellow. They're all looking good. They have these nice uptrends. Pullbacks can be bought. And I mean, it's the same story we've heard before, only this time it might be true, right? In which case, does it become a boy who cried wolf thing? I don't know. But I mean, looking at it, there is a long-term supply-demand squeeze, which has been predicted by one person after another, because they're looking at the math of how this is going to work out. But, you know, apparently the like interruptions that we had at major uranium mines, thanks to the COVID-19 pandemic, has actually brought things to the fore, because we had, you know, that's a supply interruption. And then you have things like Japan restarting some nuclear power plants, so they won't be selling their excess uranium into the market anymore. And a whole bunch of things going together. And you can see how these things would take off. And then you have the U.S. government getting interested, right? Because we don't have a real North American supply of uranium. I mean, besides Cameco, which has its mines shut because of the COVID pandemic. But so they're trying to get mining going in the United States again. And so you put those things together, and it looks like a very bullish story. That said, you and I have kicked around the sector for a while. We've heard this bullish story before. Only this time it might be true. The stocks are telling us that it's true. The stocks have been known to be liars before. But, I mean, the big one-day move in Cameco, for example, was huge. So so I am looking at the uranium industry and starting to make selective buys, because I think that there's a lot of potential here.
Sean, we'll wrap it up here. Thanks for your insights here, buddy. I know we have been talking about some of the similar sectors, but those sectors continue to run. But I'm glad to get some of your updates on precious metals. I know you still like them fundamentally long term, but a lot of noise that came into the sectors in the last couple trading days. And silver, it's been a roller coaster ride. Same with gold, but silver, yeah, wow, it's been crazy.
Yeah.
And now it's right back
to the truth.
Pretty much where it was, yeah. All right, Sean, yep. Great chatting with you, buddy. I'll chat with you in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Okay, you too.